The words of God given to us today are Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13. It is page 401 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. On September 30 of last year, a gigantic sinkhole, which measured 50 meters in diameter and 15 to 20 meters in depth, opened up in Hubei province of China. And 16 factory workers who were working in the factory building, which was on top of it, disappeared into the ground. A sinkhole is a phenomenon where an empty space opens up in the underground and the earth caves into it. And the reason why a sinkhole is so scary is that one does not know when or where it will occur or how big it will be, and it can happen in an instant. The building or structure or person on top of it can't really do anything about it when it happens. It is said that the sinkhole happens generally in three situations. The first is when limestone, which has a tendency to dissolve in water, melts away in rain or underground water over a long period of time. In a geographical area where there are a lot of limestones and the ground is not able to stand the pressure of things that are on the surface after the limestone underneath melts away. And the second case is when there is excessive excavation at the time of subway construction or gold mining or coal mining. And the third case is where water is extracted from underground to be used and the earth caves into the empty space created by the extraction. On February 12, too, a sinkhole with a diameter of 12 meters and depth of 9 meters developed under the GM Corvette Museum in Kentucky. So 8 cars, which were on display, sank into the ground. In Guatemala, a sinkhole measuring 30 meters in diameter and depth of 60 meters occurred in 2010. Four buildings, including one with three floors, got sucked into the ground. In 2007, a sinkhole with a depth of 100 meters happened so that about 20 houses got sucked into the ground. And Korea is no exception to the phenomenon of sinkhole. In February of last year, a sinkhole of 12 meters in diameter and depth of 27 meters happened in the construction site of Incheon subway construction. In 2008, there was in Chungbuk, Umsang, and in 2005, a sinkhole happened in Cheongnam, Muhan. What is common about the sinkhole is that it begins from the underground. Limestone dissolves in rainwater or underground water underneath. Subway construction or gold or coal mining development happens underground. And it is underground where an empty space is created due to excessive extraction of underground water. Therefore, what is just as important as what appears on the outside is what is inside. If the inside is completely empty, the outside cannot stand on top of it. Our lives too must be filled with what is eternal in order for us not to suffer from the sinkholes in our lives. Now today's text tells us well who protects us when we run into a sinkhole of our lives. Verse 11 testifies as follows, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The Lord said to Philadelphia Church, hold on to what you have. As we have reflected over several weeks, what Philadelphia Church had was little strength, so small that it could not be seen with eyes, a small strength that had almost no influence so that it could be ignored. But even with a thing that people regard as being small and of no worth, the Lord is someone who allows one to keep the crown he has already given with such a thing. The reason that we have to hold on to what we have is because if we don't hold on, the crown that we have received can go to somebody else. In the Bible, there are many examples of people who did not hold on to what they had and lost their crown to somebody else. Esau, who was the firstborn of the twins, had the right to inheritance. This meant that he had the right to receive more inheritance than his younger brother Jacob and to become the descendant of covenant who began from his grandfather Abraham and continued to his father Isaac. On top of that, he was to become the honorable chain of blessing through which the covenant of God would continue after him. But Esau did not see this as something to be valued. When he came back tired and hungry from hunting, he sold away his inheritance right for a lentil stew that Jacob had made. Esau let go of the crown of inheritance because of a mere lentil stew. And the Bible calls this action of Esau as being godless. The oldest of Jacob's 12 sons was Reuben, but he could not win over his lust and ended up sleeping with Bilhah, his stepmother. Because of this, he also ended up handing over his inheritance right to Joseph. After the death of King Solomon, Israel became divided between north and south. In Judah to the south, there were a total of 20 kings, and Israel to the north, there were a total of 19 kings. And together, counting David and Solomon, there were altogether 42 kings. But there was only one person who was the first king. This was Saul. In any country, there could be many kings, but of course, there is only one person who is the first king. And he was Saul who took that place of honor. Now God told King Saul through Prophet Samuel that he was to destroy everything that belonged to Amalekites. But Saul thought it would be a shame to do that and did not destroy Agag, the king of Amalek, and kept back the best of the flocks of sheep and cows, other animals, and whatever that had value. He only destroyed things that were worthless and valueless and did not have much value. And on the surface, Saul seemed to have obeyed God, but actually, he disobeyed from within. When God regarded this, God said that he regretted making Saul a king. This does not mean that God made a mistake, but it tells us the extent to which God was frustrated and grieved by Saul's disobedience. But Saul thought that he was doing just fine and made a memorial to be erected for himself. When Prophet Samuel came to rebuke him, Saul said, "The things he kept back were goods from war that were to be, that he was going to offer to God as sacrifice." But this was not the truth. The reason that he did not obey God's command was because he was afraid of the people. Saul held on to the spoils of war that he got from the battle with Amalekites, but he ended up letting go of God's word that he should have held on to. So the crown that was on his head did not go to his son Jonathan, but to David. Now Jesus lived on the earth for 33 years as a man with the body. Now, so many people have been born, lived, and died since the creation of the world by God. The chance of being born in the age when Jesus had come to earth and lived was very small. And the chance of being born in Israel, of all the nations at that time, was even more slim. And despite that probability, Judas Iscariot was one of the 12 who was called as Jesus' disciple, who had this improbable encounter with Jesus. But despite this grace, he sold away his teacher out of his greed for 30 silver coins, and so the crown which was on his head was given away to Matthias. Esau and Reuben and Saul and Judas Iscariot, they all lived a tragic life in which they lost their crown because of the sinkholes called godlessness, lust, disobedience, and greed. So, and this applies to us as well. Rather than being busy trying to get something we don't have, we should treat what the Lord has given to us already as being precious, whether it's wealth, abilities, relationships, character, or family. Whatever they are, they help us to guard the crowns that we have received. The Lord promised this to the Church of Philadelphia. The first part of verse 12 testifies as follows. "The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it." In 17 AD, more than 10 cities in Asia Minor, including Philadelphia, became ruins because of a great earthquake. The earthquake ended for other cities with that one earthquake, but Philadelphia suffered from continued aftershocks. It created a huge fear among the people living in Philadelphia. So the people in order not to be harmed by falling stones or trees when the aftershock hit, lived in huts outside of the city. And even if they were living in the city, if they felt just a little bit of the aftershock, they left the city. I also have a memory of going outside in this way. In July of 1990, I had traveled to Manila, the capital of the Philippines. At that time, a strong earthquake with a strength of 7.7 on the Richter scale hit Bagao of Luzon Island to the north, and about 2,000 people lost their lives. The Manila where I happened to be was about 250 kilometers away from Bagao, but I could clearly feel the earthquake. I was sitting on a sofa, and it felt like someone had suddenly jerked and pulled the sofa backwards and then let it go. I turned around to look, but there wasn't anybody. The Philippine person who was sitting next to me turned white and ran outside shouting, "Earthquake!" I followed him outside. And numerous people were wailing with their hands up in the air. I thought, at that instant, oh, maybe the Lord is coming. I thought that. The people of Philadelphia had become familiar with happenings like this. And to the people of Philadelphia who were living in such circumstance, the Lord promised that to who is victorious, I will make a pillar. He didn't say that they would become just a pillar. He promised that they would become the pillar in the temple of my God. Now, the pillars that are made by men, whether with wood, stone, or even metal, are bound to decay, chip and rust away, and at the end, crumble one day. But because God is eternal, pillars of God are eternal and will never fall down. Regardless of what may come. This promise was probably a great comfort to people of Philadelphia who had to run outside each time there was an aftershock of an earthquake. The motto of our church for the year 2007 was Yagin and Boaz. The King Solomon, in order to provide a center point of faith to the children of Israel, built the temple over a period of 7 years. Now God, of course, is an omniscient being who cannot be confined to a particular space. Omnipresent being who cannot be confined to a particular space. However, he hoped that the children of Israel would deeply etch into their hearts the knowledge of God through their fellowship with him in that space. And Solomon erected two pillars at the temple made of brass, measuring 35 cubits. Now, one cubit is a distance from the elbow to the end of one's fingers and measures about 45 centimeters. So 35 cubits is approximately 15 meters and 75 centimeters. And Solomon placed a column head on top of the columns, measuring 5 cubits, or approximately 2 meters and 25 centimeters. The total length of the pillars was no less than 18 meters, and the name of the right pillar was Yagin, and the name of the left pillar was Boaz. The meaning of Yagin is he establishes, and the name of Boaz means that he has power. The columns were to signify that although the people of Israel were weaker than any people, if God, who is powerful, establishes them, no one and nothing can bring them down. Even if what you have is very small strength, if you keep to the Lord's words and do not betray him, and thereby become the one who is victorious, then you will obtain the grace of becoming a pillar of God's temple, which never leaves. But even if you have great strength, if you only depend on it and live according to the values of the world, then you will one day fall into the sinkhole of life and experience everything falling down. The promise of the Lord for the Church of Philadelphia continues this way. The latter part of verse 12 testifies thus: I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. The people of Philadelphia knew very well what it meant to have a new name, to have one's name recorded. When Philadelphia was destroyed by earthquake, the great Roman Emperor Tiberius provided a great sum of money for the restoration of the city. And out of gratitude for this support, Philadelphia was once called Neo Caesarea, in other words, Caesar's new city. And at the time of the Emperor Vespasianus, the sixth emperor of Roman Empire, the city had also received financial support for restoration and had changed its name to Favius as a sign of gratefulness, which was the last name of the emperor. And in Philadelphia, when a person did a good job as a public servant or left great works behind as a business person in the public works arena, or served faithfully as a priest all your life, then a new pillar was erected inside the temple in his honor, and his name and the name of his father would be etched onto it as a commemoration. Because Philadelphia was known, where its other name was Little Athens at the time, there probably were numerous temples and even a greater number of pillars in the temples. And many names would have been etched onto those pillars. But all those temples and all those pillars have crumbled and disappeared, and nothing remains. If you visit the areas around Philadelphia now during a pilgrimage to Asia Minor, only three columns, which are used for a Byzantine church in 6 AD, remains. But the Lord does not promise that our names will be etched on a pillar of a temple. He says that we will become the very pillars of God's temple. And he promises that the name of God and the name of New Jerusalem, the name of Jesus Christ, will be etched on us. Because the Holy Father is eternal. Because New Jerusalem is the eternal city. And because the Holy Son is eternal. That we become the pillar of the temple of God is an eternal promise. This is our joy and our pride. This world is full of all kinds of earthquakes and sinkholes. A building that looks just fine crumbles down. A terrorist suicide bombing happens at a tourist site. Our hearts sink at hearing news of people who kill themselves, not being able to overcome poverty and illness. When we look over the world in which we live in, there is not one thing which is solid, whether it's politics, economy, our society, education system, social welfare, international relations, or families. And we cannot ourselves on our own become pillars. We will soon fall into a sinkhole if we try to become pillars on our own. No matter how shaky the world is, and no matter how many holes there are in our lives, the reason that we have hope is because there is Jesus Christ who makes us victorious. He is the rock of our lives and our faith. If we erect our lives on that rock, no matter what size a sinkhole, no matter how deep it is, it will not be able to bring down our lives or make our lives sink into it, because the Lord, who is the very ground of our lives, is the eternal rock. And He is the very architect who draws the plane for the plan for the earthquake proofing of our lives and our faith. If we establish our lives according to His plan, according to what He has said, then our lives will not shake regardless of what earthquake may come, regardless of what tsunamis may hit us, because the person who helps us to establish our lives in the right way is the eternal architect who proofs our lives against earthquakes. Although we may feel that we are of no worth and small in stature, if we erect our lives on the Lord, who is our eternal rock, and build our lives according to the plan drawn by the Lord, who is our architect, we will become the pillars on which the name of God, the name of New Jerusalem, the name of Jesus Christ will be etched. And because we have become so, the world will become a place of value and meaning. Let us pray. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. Father God, thank you for reminding us once again what it is that we are told on to, and what hope your promise brings to us through today's words. As we look back on our lives, we confess that there were many small and big sinkholes in our lives, and there were many events that shook our lives like an earthquake. We stumbled and fell when these things happened, but we did not completely fall flat because you held on to us. At times, it looked like our life was over, but you helped us to build it again, and we were able to come this far. And for all this, we give you thanks. And even if it looks like we are down on our knees now, we still give you thanks because we believe that you will raise us up again. Help us now to hold on to what you have given to us and what we came to have because of it. Help us not to run around trying to get what you did not give and suffer the crumbling of our lives, and not to become the main character of a tragedy in which we lose our crime because we cannot overcome our desires, like Esau, Reuben, King Saul, or Judas Iscariot. Father God, thank you for making us who are of little worth to become pillars in God's temple and never leave it. Although we do not have strength, your strength is boundless. Although we cannot establish our lives on our own, may we remember that God is the very being who raises them up. And because this world is an unsteady place where there are many sinkholes, we cannot but despair and experience disappointments as we regard the world. But because of our Lord, who is our eternal rock, our eternal architect, who proofs us against internal earthquakes, we have hope. We pray that we will all become the work of our Lord, who is such an architect, that we will all become the little stepping stones who lead others to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.